The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. You know, we all get a lot of strange email. Well, I don't know about you, but I get a lot of bizarre email. And usually my spam filters like are working pretty well. But I got an email a while back, and the subject line was math magazine. Math as in M-A-T-H, as in numbers, algebra. Math magazine. And I thought, okay, someone's bought my name off of some list, but they've completely hit the entirely wrong demographic because while I enjoyed math, I even took math in college. Math is not really my kink. It's not really my thing. Why am I on this list for Math Magazine? Then I opened it up and discovered that Math Magazine, drum roll please, is not about numbers. It's actually a beautiful, fine smut magazine. So in fact, whoever emailed me that, which may be our guest today, was barking up the right tree, and I thought it was the wrong tree all along. So meet the person behind Math Magazine. Let me tell you about her. Mackenzie Peck grew up in Connecticut and attended the Maryland Institute College of Art. After graduation, Mackenzie had a job at the prestigious Grimaldi's Gallery and an artist residency at the Creative Alliance at Patterson Park. Yet after a successful Kickstarter campaign and a large-scale exhibition, Mackenzie felt unfulfilled, drained, and disconnected. And so she began thinking about creative, socially impactful, entrepreneurial work that could reach a larger audience. Her path took an unusual course from Baltimore to Tennessee, Germany, South Carolina, and back to Connecticut before landing in Brooklyn in 2015. And so Mackenzie's relationship with New York City has evolved in tandem with her burgeoning business. These days, she spends most of her time at the Bat House co-working space, which is the official headquarters of this magazine I just told you about called Math Magazine. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Mackenzie.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you went to art school and you major art. What made you decide to take this turn and start a feminist porn magazine?
Well, I have to tell you first off that whole email story is amazing. That's how we get you, you
know? Totally. But for some reason, I didn't just delete it. Like, that's the other weird thing is that I don't know why I didn't just say math spam or math delete. But I didn't. I opened it. I was like, what is this math magazine?
I love it. I have disappointed quite a number of actual mathematicians at fairs where their eyes light up when they see the cover, and then they open it and it's like, oh, there's no math in here.
There's no math.
But to answer your question, I think, you know, it's like one of those situations where it's hard to pinpoint all the accumulating events and interests and talents that I possess, you know, that led me to what I feel is the best job in the world. But at one point in my life, I was married, and this man was a great person to me. And one of the most amazing things he did for me was he introduced me to the idea of entrepreneurialism. Before him, I didn't really understand that I could start my own business. It just wasn't a part of my reality. So that sort of planted a seed in my mind that I could really make something from the ground up. And the great thing about publishing is the only thing standing in my way is print cost. And I find that extremely liberating. On top of that, in a strange way, I am more free in terms of my content in print than on the internet, unfortunately, right now.
Wait, back up and tell me about that. Because I would think the opposite, but go ahead. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel as though the places where I'm able to reach the most people, you know, which are mainstream social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's not a safe space for people who want to be making boundary-pushing content. I know that accounts are getting shut down all the time. People mm-hmm. have to make backup accounts because of this. And I certainly understand. I mean, in some ways, this is better for my business, right? It creates a need for Math Magazine. But I also feel that it's limiting and is suppressing a lot of voices.
Absolutely. And so I'm not a stranger to feminist porn, but some of our listeners may be. How do you define feminist porn?
Well, I would start by defining feminism, which I like the very simple phrase of, you know, feminism is another word for equality. And in terms of pornography, you know, I'm looking to make sure that everyone is treated with equal fairness and equal representation. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Equal fairness and representation. And so I totally get your point about the social media and about some of the censorship that's happening around that. But at the same time, it feels like a print magazine. I mean, I started my own magazine in the 90s when at the height of the sort of girl zine, you know, revolution. But a print magazine seems so old school. Like, did people tell you, oh my God, this is never going to take off?
Well, prior to this idea, I had had a lot of other ideas, sort of in searching for my path. And I think a lot of people were just like, oh, it's Mackenzie with another idea. Go do your thing. You know, it wasn't even like people said I couldn't do it. It was more like it was totally disregarded. So yeah, I think I'm inspired by the beginning of printed American pornography. And I'd like to think, you know, what would have happened if Hugh Hefner was a woman, or think of that moment in porn history and like all of these paths and opportunities that just haven't been explored yet. It's just such a huge opportunity.
It's fascinating because, I mean, all of the new media people would just be like, that's old media. Like, we don't need to pick it up or touch it or send it in the mail anymore. Like, we don't do those things. But do you feel like there's something about print and sex that you feel like creates this perfect kind of marriage?
Potentially. I mean, I certainly like the tactility of it. And I think that's appealing to people, the intimacy of the object, certainly. I think that there's a different kind of experience of, discovery. You know, if you compare the experience of, paging through a magazine, like the physical experience of paging through and not knowing what's going to be on the next, page, versus clicking through links on the internet and that sort of discovery, it's very different. There's a different rhythm to it. There's a different type of curation happening. And I certainly find it more appealing on paper. I have a longer attention span on paper.
Isn't that funny? Because I still love to read books in print. You know, people are constantly, you know, like I have a Kindle and people send me PDFs of their books and all that stuff. But I really like the book, the physical book itself. And I don't know if that's just like because I'm old or what that is. The photos in, so let me just tell people, there's a lot of different stuff in this. There are written things, there are stories, there are poems, there are photos, there are illustrations. The photos are, I lack a better word than artsy. Some of them are artsy. Most of them are very unconventional, not what you traditionally think of as kind of quote unquote mainstream porn, but some of them are very explicit nonetheless. How do you choose them? I mean, is this all according to your own personal taste, or are you trying to sort of hit as many different targets as you can?
Well, I have two criteria. First of all, I gave myself permission to just bottom line, like if I'm into it, if it's hot to me, then it's good enough to go, because I can freak myself out by trying to sort of please too many sexual palettes, mm-hmm. so to speak, or even aesthetic palettes. So there's that. And then secondly, you know, I'm always working to really offer a cornucopia of sexual preferences and bodies. And I certainly have these little goals. Like sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night worried that there are too many dicks in that issue. And like, I need to balance it out with some more vaginas. So there's like an even spread of certain elements that I'm always trying to hit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to take a break already. How did that happen?
We have so much to talk about.
Okay, so that's like just the beginning, people. We have a lot more to talk about what makes math so unique. So let's take a break, hear from our sponsors, and more with Mackenzie of Math Magazine when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, you can send me an email, but you can also call our 24-hour hotline. That sort of makes it sound like people are answering the phone. Okay, it's a voicemail. But if you have questions, general sex and relationship advice questions, questions about a show, comments about a show, we'd love to hear from you. You can call 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. And hey, for all of you out there in New Mexico, I am coming to you. I am going to teach one class in Albuquerque, New Mexico, November 2nd, 7:30 p.m. I'm teaching anal sex for everyone at Self Serve Toys. Self Serve is one of my favorite stores in the entire country, and I just don't get there enough. So this is a very rare appearance. I feel like the last time I was there was maybe five or even 7 or 8 years ago. I can't remember is what I'm saying. You can order tickets in advance by calling the store or going to selfservetoys.com. And there is limited space, so it will sell out. And this is coming up next week, November 2nd. So hopefully I will see some of you in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Okay, we're talking today with the creator and editor-in-chief of Math Magazine, Mackenzie Peck. And before the break, you talked about how you choose photos. And are you also setting up original photo shoots? I've seen some photos of you like on set. How do you find models for those?
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to get into more of the production side of things. In terms of that, I definitely get a mix of work that I'm producing, editorial shoots that I'm producing in New York. I average about 3 or 4 per issue. And I'm really collaborating with some amazing photographers in the area and models. I get to sort of play matchmaker between the two, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I'll actually art direct shoots that are happening all over the world. For the last issue, I art directed a shoot that actually happened in Rome. Amazing, right? And shoots all over the country are happening just based on some good Skype conversations. On top of that, I'm selecting artwork from and photography from portfolios that already exist independent of us. It's really nice to be able to cherry pick some high quality work that some artists, you know, have been developing for several years, and you can really sense that. I get a lot of submissions, you know, for writing and visual work too, which is great.
And I read in an interview that you say that the photographers have to get naked or strip down to their underwear. Is that true of everyone? What? Tell me about that. It's fascinating because, like, as someone who directs porn, like, I actually get to keep my clothes on. But tell me about this.
Okay. I'm really into the idea of hierarchy flattening whenever possible. I do have to say that maybe that statement was hyperbolic. more of a, like, if I put it out there, people will come to me wanting to do that. Mm-hmm. I think we've had one or two shoots where that's happened, and it felt right. There are certainly occasions where it would be inappropriate. we will really adapt the crew on set to really fit and suit the needs of the models and the concept. So sometimes we'll have a shoot with like 7 people on crew, and other times it'll be just the photographer and myself. And I'll physically try to make myself as small as possible sometimes, so it's as if I'm not even there either. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I mean, I like this idea, though, that everyone has to be on, like, sort of a similar level of vulnerability and like, has to reveal themselves.
Exactly.
At least in this sort of one way, right?
I like the idea of the shared vulnerability and shared input. You know, creative risk-taking together to varying degrees is very valuable. And to just feel like everybody's equally invested in what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. And since the magazine has come out, are people sort of lining up at your door to model for it? Because I would say that in New York, there's not a ton of places where you can even do like nude or sexy modeling.
I have been contacted by quite a lot of people. But part of maintaining a high degree of diversity continues to like make my job tough, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a high comfort level with people who look a certain way because of mass media to put themselves out there. And I'm really excited about reaching people who are underrepresented and therefore less likely to reach out to me.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Sarah Merck's piece in Bitch Magazine said that you don't like simply present an array of, quote, beautiful bodies. And so I'm wondering how is it that we get to shift the representation? Are you actively and constantly kind of looking for folks who don't fit that traditional I'm in a porno magazine narrative?
Absolutely. And the tough thing about it being porn is that it's inappropriate for me to contact anybody about modeling unless they're already kind of putting that out there. You know, unsolicited like contact asking for you to like fuck on camera is like really not cool.
you sound like a Craigslist ad, basically.
Right. So that's like an added layer of difficulty. Like, not only do I want to reach people who are underrepresented generally in mass media, I'm looking for people who are interested, excited about sharing their sexuality with the world. So yes, I'm always looking for that. And to that end, you know, my editorial goals kind of develop for each issue where I'll have these sort of challenges for myself. You know, in past issues, I was looking for older people sexualized, and I accomplished that. In the last issue, I really wanted pegging and an older woman doing that, or, you know, bigger bodied people. Like, I always have these little challenges. You know, I wanted a submissive male. And I've been lucky in being able to check a lot of those boxes off each time. Right now, I'm really interested in finding disabled or differently abled bodies to work with me. So I'm just putting that out there.
Now, the other thing that's noticeable, I mean, my favorite spread is either the Monica Patterson one or the Meg Wachter one. The thing about the Meg Wachter one, and I'll send people a little clip of this, like I'll send them to the Huffington Post, is like it's really unexpected, and I read it as very kinky, but it's very not traditionally like, oh, there's a kink shoot, kind of. I mean,
do you say that because it's like exhibitionism?
Yeah, and there's this one photo where she's like sort of bent him over, and she has her hand on his head, and it's it looks like really dominant submissive to me. That's how I read it. But I was like, but this is just not a photo you see. Like, you don't see like straight people having sex this way in porn.
Yeah. That's nicely said.
That's like really what struck me about it. I was like, okay, when we're constantly sort of asking ourselves, like, how do we change representation? How do we make different images? And then you see something like that and you're like, wait, there it is. I've never seen that.
I think it comes out of giving people a space to do, to like follow their chemistry in a way and to not put on too much narrative on top of them. Like these two were just amazing together. They had the most amazing chemistry and physicality. A lot of our points of reference were actually marble sculptures where there was a lot of like holding each other up and almost like wrestling. So I think that set a good tone for the whole shoot. And the two models, you know, they know each other very well. Lovers, if not in a relationship. So that's something else to keep in mind.
Yeah, it totally had a wrestling quality too. That was the thing, though, is I felt like it could be read in these multiple ways. And then I was just like, okay, this is really something different. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
But I also really dug this sort of explicitness of the Monica Patterson, which is this kind of tattooed couple. And I feel like there's a rawness to that that was really amazing and really unexpected. Some of the shots, like, they feel really explicit and they feel really sexual, but you're not even always seeing like even boobs or genitals or ass or anything, but it still feels really dirty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like the images are black and white. It's low light. I think that adds to it. There's quite a lot of surface that's covered in black ink, which sets a mood. I like that you chose those two photo shoots because I think the style in which each is presented nicely reflects the chemistry of the couple modeling. Josh and Jane, you know, they're very intense and it definitely comes across.
Yeah. Yeah. That's undeniable. Okay, we've got to take another break. How did that happen? We're going to tweet out a link to this feminist porn. This is what a feminist porn magazine looks like on Huffington Post, just so you guys can see a little taste of some of these photos, which are really super hot. So Raymond's going to tweet out that link so you guys can look at it on the break. And when we come back, we will talk more about this revolutionary magazine. So stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. You know, the Pleasure Chest, my absolutely amazing sponsor, is celebrating their 45th year in business. We actually have the same birthday. The Pleasure Chest and I were born in the same year. And as you know, every week I tell you about the great sex education classes that are happening around the country. So here's what's coming up next. At the Chicago store, November 9th, Impact Play, Spanking, Flogging, and More with Andrea, Renee, and Tanya. And later that month, November 30th, Hand and Foot Sex with Antoinette, Elizabeth. In LA, right here in my backyard in West Hollywood, November 2nd, How to Drive a Vulva with Allison Moon. Allison's going to come from the Bay Area. She wrote this incredible book with Katie Diamond called Girl Sex 101. She's a master of vulvas and driving them, so you should go to that. November 9th in LA, Impact Play with Carly and Michelle. And November 13th in LA, Babe Camp, Body Positivity and Burlesque Basics with Virgie Tovar. Then on the Upper East Side in New York, November 2nd, Bend Over Buddy, Anal Pleasure for Him with Denise and Nico. November 9th, Head of the Class, Blowjobs 201 with Brandon B. And November 10th, Hands-On Rope Bondage with Midori. All of those are amazing. And of course, they're free. They're free. These classes are free, people, and open to everyone. They all start at 8 p.m. They go until about 10 o'clock. Go to pleasurechest.com, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see all the workshop listings for each of the stores. And give Pleasure Chest some love because they make this show possible. Okay, I've been talking with Mackenzie, who is the creator and the driving force behind Math Magazine, and I hope you checked out some of the photos from that link that we just tweeted out. But I also want you to hear some of the really incredible writing that's in this magazine. I think writing about sex has become, well, it's become sort of overdone, and it's like the opposite of curated. It's sort of, it's like just everyone thinks they can write about sex all over the internet all the time. And so there's a lot of mediocre shit out there. But Mackenzie really just hand selects this stuff and is really good. And I wanted to get you a little taste of it. So Mackenzie, you're going to read a piece from the latest issue.
Yep, this is from issue 3. I have to start off by saying a little bit of a warning to say that we don't condone the sexual abuse of animals. This is like a fun and weird story. So that's my little preamble. So this is in issue 3. It's called Gloria by Ron Eames. And this actually came out of a particular prompt that I can tell you about later.
Okay.
Like a thunderstorm in the mid-July Caribbean, she came in waves. Just leave them on the floor, he told her, weak from hours sick with sour oysters, for housekeeping. That was, in fact, only the second time in 6 long years of marriage, watching the electric door shut slowly, stranded in the hallway in his new It's Better in the Bahamas tee, and her old dark blue Northwestern swimming one piece, cradling a bundle of vomit-soaked hotel towels, Gloria knew Hank was right. But all that washed away like the waves that lapped up over the drain canals along the pool's length as her toned legs diced them, bleeding, the pressure of a last-ditch couple's retreat out of her veins. She liked to swim. She was good at it. Gloria, 38, hard body, queen of chlorine, Artemis in activewear, mother of two. Queen animal, or as Hank joked over the incident in the enclosure earlier that day, a dolphin's best friend. She was, in fact, less surprised by the mammal's affinity for her. The poor trainer had to get into the water to disperse the swarming pod himself than she was by how much she enjoyed it, the weight, the warmth, their attention. Reclining in the dolphin viewing cave that would be her den until the morning, when Hank awoke and she was no longer locked out, her breath subsided. She rolled on her side, fussy. Blaming her wet bathing suit, she sat up, elbowed the straps down her shoulders, over her clammy tits, damp stomach, and just to the rim of the bowl that held her strong hips. And that's when she felt their eyes pouring over her. Black glass, 6 marbles with the kind of gaze that draws back the curtain of sleep. The darkest, a female, was Costa. The albino male, Pinky. It was the bottlenose who watched closest, however. He was the island resort's newest. His name she could not recall, but she remembered him from earlier that day's encounter. He wouldn't do any tricks. I couldn't, she thought. Then again, her heart swam. Besides, she very much liked the way their eyes followed the line she traced down from just below the nape of her neck, across her collarbones, down pecs, over her breasts, and around the stiffening tips of her tits. She had goosebumps, the base of her palms, kneading skin over abs, sculpted out the bowl inside of her hips. And tonight she liked the way her C-section scars felt beneath her fingers, like, she imagined, stretched wet canvas, bumpy like the stubble around her shaven outer lips. She imagined the way their greedy tongues could pull her two halves apart and root around the pearl within. The flower petal folds drew back as she fished out her clitoris, coaxing out a treat. And then the female took off, swimming frantically, but Pinky and, oh, what was his name? She couldn't bear it, were pressed up against the glass. And she imagined being taken up between them, pulled by the mouth, pushed by the other, propelled by a tail that pulled her down to the base of his knot, deep enough that its lace tendril wrapped around her cervix like a vine, their bodies undulating like the waves surely agitating over the tank's edge in ecstasy. She could drown like this, she thought. Her eyes closed tight as she imagined load after load of cum and salt water hydrating the dry, swollen lump in the back of her throat. Gulp and choke. Hips arched, grinding her tailbone into the stone riser below. As Gloria's orgasm exsanguinated her libido, she imagined the shock in her eyes as her lifeless body drifted down, down to the bottom of the tank. Watched as time passed, skin slagged, and every now and again a wave of the third dolphin's tail swimming by would fan her hair over her pale face. That's when she remembered his name. It was Hank. Her eyes rolled. The muscles underneath her belly button buckled in. Her throat became a water slide to ride recklessly down into the base of her, awakening her spout like the loosening of an ancient stopper. She squealed forth a second orgasm. Thunder cracked the sky open and he was gone. Gloria began to laugh and then sob, as divers lost in the deepest caverns of the heart sometimes do. That's the end.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry. Little technical glitch. Everyone was like, hello, where is she? and that, it's quite a story. And I'm glad you gave us this disclaimer at the beginning, but I think we can all go into the fantasy world. So this story came about because of a writing prompt. Tell me about that.
I'd like to think you were so devastated by how awesome that story was that you just like threw your computer across the room.
I was just stunned in the silence. My mouth was agape and I was just like, I have no words.
It's great for my performance anxiety. a little behind the scenes at Math Magazine. I have this crazy Google Doc simply titled Ideas, in which I list various fragments of thoughts or almost completed thoughts and prompts for writing ideas, photo shoots, you name it. And sometimes I'll share this document with authors in order to sort of get them thinking about some wild ideas. One of the prompts, I was thinking about, you hear these stories or see these videos of like tourists who get sort of accosted by dolphins during those sort of, swim with the dolphin, hokey, tourist things.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it stuck with me. It seemed so like out of this world, but also maybe not that surprising. So my prompt was, I really liked the idea of there being this mother, going on like a very typical kind of corny, vacation, you know, with the braided hair and the tourist t-shirts and, sandals resort kind of vibe.
Right.
And so amidst like maybe a very normal experience, something otherworldly, and surprising happens. And I think the author did a really great job with it. His economy of language is really stunning to me. And I really hope that I did it justice.
You did. No, you absolutely did.
Thank you.
I think the other thing that strikes me about when I'm looking at math is that there's a lot of different kinds of sexualities represented. And I'm wondering if that's sort of part of the deliberate mission and if there's been any pushback about that in terms of people being really invested in, I only kind of want to see these kinds of people having sex or these kinds of sex. And then you've kind of gone off, you know, off in various directions.
Yeah, it's actually very important to me. Right up there with diversity of bodies, diversity of sexual interests is paramount to me. I think it's a part of that idea we talked about earlier in terms of discovery and surprise. And I think I want people to approach this magazine with the idea that, you know, it may not all be for you, but I hope that you can at least understand somebody might be into this and have some empathy, if not wanting to try yourself. So it could be like an introduction to try something new that you hadn't heard of before, or just a better way to understand what other people are into. And I haven't gotten really any pushback on this. I think when you put something out there that's a bit different, people respond with enthusiasm. I think I'm attracting the people who are craving this kind of publication and are excited to see it happen.
And what kinds of other feedback have you gotten?
Well, I mean, thinking about the origin of the magazine, a lot of people were against this cover. You know, our covers are a single color. There's no image. The only thing that really changes is in small type on the bottom, it says the issue number. That's one of the few things I got a lot of pushback on, which feels surprising now. But now it's iconic for us.
Yeah, it is iconic. I mean, it looks sort of like a textbook. For people who don't know, it looks kind of like a textbook or a manual of some kind. And you could absolutely read it on the subway and people would think you were a mathematician.
Right. I actually have done that because I make the claim that that's possible. And it's actually still kind of scary, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I made the damn thing and I'm looking at it and I forget what's on the next page and find myself gripping it a bit tighter to like closer to my body in case somebody is looking over my shoulder. Like I'm a pornographer, but I could still be scandalized.
By your own magazine.
Oh, I know. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
God. Okay. We got to take another break. People, you got to run out and get this magazine. And it's independent. This is an independent magazine, okay? So you're not, this is not like Condé Nast industrial complex sort of shit here. You actually have to buy this magazine and support this magazine if you want to see this magazine continue to be published. So you guys should really check it out. And we will talk more about it with Mackenzie when we come back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Thanks for spending a part of your Friday night or whenever you're listening to us. I've been talking with Mackenzie, who is the editor-in-chief and creator and the driving force behind Math Magazine, M-A-T-H. Mackenzie, there was an article on the Huffington Post, and that's where I sent people to look at some of the photos. And then I made the mistake, of course, of reading the comments. And the first comment on that Huffington Post piece was, this quote: "I'd probably really like this magazine, but I wouldn't call it porn. It looks like erotic art or photography. And there's a ton of it. It's quite prevalent in the world of high art and photography." So where do you fall on this? That's not porn. That's erotica thing.
It's this funny kind of, like, sometimes that's said in a way that's like a backhanded compliment, sort of, like,
right.
Oh, you're not porn, you're art. And it's like, I don't know. I got so sort of frustrated in a way about that statement that I had like a confused tweet the other day where I'm just like, can somebody explain this to me? I don't know what's happening. But I think it's just a language issue. And it's part of why I've been really firm about calling this pornography. I really want to show that there is the possibility for a wide range of interpretations of that word. So I'm not like super insulted. In a way, it means that I'm doing what I'm putting out to accomplish, really pushing the boundaries of this definition. It doesn't have to be ugly, honestly. Like, that's my main thing.
Right. No, and I mean, I could not agree with you like more, because I find this whole argument tiresome. And yet, there it is. Whenever anyone's working in any kind of sexual or explicit media, it's there. Like, people want to engage you on it, right? So it's like, you can't dismiss it outright. But I agree with you that I feel like we need to expand the language of pornography and the possibilities of what qualifies as pornography, rather than sort of like running away from it and being like, this is art. Because
yeah,
it can be porn and art at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's like a dismissive thing. It's like maybe a fear response, like, oh, like, I don't understand this, or this isn't what I'm used to seeing. So I'm going to categorize it as something else. And I think that just comes with trying to make change happen. And it's kind of expected, right?
Right. And people, I think, being wed to a notion of porn that's been defined in such a narrow way, right? That people get invested in that definition when it's not written, it's like not written in stone. It's like open to interpretation. I feel
well,
like
close
people...
to written in stone is Wikipedia. I say jokingly, but I did even like refer back to Wikipedia to try to really break down where this is coming from. And it really split it up into erotica versus pornography. And I just hate the word erotica. Like,
yeah, who doesn't? Really? Seriously? it sounds tepid. It doesn't sound sexy. It sounds like a little gentler. It sounds pretentious. I mean, it has all these connotations for me that I just don't like.
Right. I don't think of hardcore porn when I think of the word erotica.
Right.
And I want space for all of that.
Right. Right. And I think it's important also that porn has been sort of traditionally defined by men who are the main producers for men who are seen as the main consumers. And now that that's changed, I feel like we've got to take up, as feminists, we have to take up this project, just like we have to take up Hollywood films and music videos and TV and all that stuff. Like, we've got to be in that space and constantly kind of push at it.
But on that note, I do want to mention that, you know, in the history of porn, women entrepreneurs have been making breakthroughs for a really long time. I don't want to make it seem like that's a new idea. You know, like big porn stars creating their own companies, like Jenna Jameson, like going from a performer to running her own company and kicking ass so hard. Like, I would love for somebody to write a book about female entrepreneurs in the porn industry, like starting from like pre-VHS, because they've been doing great things for a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to give people a few heads up about where they can find you. Okay. So November 12th, you're going to be at the New Women Print and Zine Festival at the New Women Space in Brooklyn, from 12 to 6. Okay. So this is like is this like a sort of media festival centered around women produced stuff?
Yeah, it's the first version of this event. It's a brand new space that's doing really interesting programming, but it'll be all female identifying publications, including some of my favorites like Selfish Magazine and Got a Girl Crush.
Nice, nice. And then for those of you who are budding writers, and I know that there are many of you in my audience, November 20th is the deadline for written submissions for the next issue of Math Magazine. Give me a sense, besides the dolphin sex, what kinds of things, what kinds of things you look for in terms of written work that really appeal to you or that you would tell anyone who wanted to submit?
Wow. You know, that's tough for me to answer because there's a lot of things that I look for and appreciate in writing. But I think it's nice when authors use humor, surrealism, like that story, and sort of like genuine sensitive feelings, like the feels, to approach ideas around sex and lust and arousal and kink. You know, I think I'm really interested in approaching these ideas that maybe have been explored, like you said, very thoroughly on the internet, in a way that feels different and beautiful. I use the word beautiful a lot.
You do. Okay.
Well, I can't help myself.
Beautiful, sort of in the eye of the beholder. So, like, you know, what is beautiful for one person is, you know.
Yeah. And I think, like, I would love to just read about things that we don't read about enough. No, I don't want any more dolphin sex, just to be clear.
Okay. You've done that. So you're going to.
Right. I've branching checked that out. Off.
Yeah, you're branching out.
And hearing about real experiences is really nice. Mm. That would be maybe top of my list right now.
Oh, real. Okay. Real stories. Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay. That's good for those folks out there who may be thinking about it. I have a little something that I might actually send you.
No way. Oh my God.
Believe it or not. Yeah. I was inspired to write a little thing and it's a little offbeat, I would say.
You even saying that makes me so happy.
So it might be a good fit. Okay. And so listeners, you have to hold me to that because I have to finish the story. I started it. It's like about 3/4 of the way done. I have to finish it. And then I'll send it to Math Magazine and then you can send me a rejection letter. Okay. I want to tell people how to get you. You can go to the website. It's math-mag.com. You can follow on Twitter @math_magazine written out. They're also on Facebook and Instagram @MathMagazine, all one word. The Instagram is where it's happening, people. But you should definitely follow Math on Twitter. And thank you so much, Mackenzie, for taking the time to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was a lot of fun.
So issue 3 is out now, folks. And if you're thinking of submitting, issue 4 She's working on it now. So I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be away, but I have pre-recorded my show, and my guest will be Morgan Mann Willis, who's the editor of the new anthology, Outside the XY, Queer, Black, and Brown Masculinity. And this anthology came out of a community and a movement called Brooklyn Boyhood, B-O-I-H-O-O-D. It's a really incredible book, and we had a fantastic discussion about it. So while I'm off meditating in New Mexico, you can listen to that. And until then, you can always find me on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter, at Tristan Taramino, and at Sex Out Loud Radio. And in anticipation of this weekend, as we go into Halloween and other holidays, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.